Greetings to you all, in the precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and wishing you, each one of you, a very blessed, happy Resurrection Day. Happy Easter to you all, and it's great to see the joy of the Lord in each one of our hearts as we worship, as the children worship, the great things God has done. This morning, if you could please turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, if you could please turn your Bibles and open, and to a portion of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and we shall read a few verses from there. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will raise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have watch, go your way, make it sure as he can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as a dead man. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not, for I know that he see Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and they shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and it ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and they shall see me. This morning, brothers and sisters, on this great day, as I was praying to share on the power of resurrection, and as I look at those words of the Lord Jesus, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the power of life, as even Apostle Paul experienced and desired to know, that I may know the power of resurrection. Indeed, it is beyond what we can think what the power of resurrection is. As the scholar says, the salvation is just the beginning. The understanding of it will take us eternity to understand his power, his love, his great gift of eternal life is given to each one of us. As we know, as our Lord Jesus, in the time he lived about 2,000 years ago, Jesus did many miracles. He healed many. He healed the blind. One of the great miracles where he stopped the storm. But one of the great miracles, just few days before, when Jesus was crucified, as he entered to Bethany to meet the town of Mary and Martha, who were sad, who were in sorrow because they had lost Lazarus for 4 days. Been laid in the tomb. We hear these words of Lord Jesus to Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Do you believe this? As we read John's Gospel chapter 11 and many portions, one of the teachings Jesus preached is about the resurrection of life, of the gift of eternal life to every child who receives him. We know there's Martha's answer. The Lazarus will raise on the last day. So Martha knew about this teaching. Jesus continued to share that as you read through the scriptures, Jesus revealed in John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 19, to Pharisees, the chief priest, he said, "Destroy this temple, I'll raise it again in 3 days." He was talking about himself, that he will raise the third day. He revealed in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 23, they will kill him. On the third day, he will be raised to life. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer things at the hands and be crucified and be killed. On the third day, be raised to life. Yet, after all these many portions where Jesus revealed to the disciples, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priest, yet we know as we read through the portions, the disciples were not ready. They did not even imagine that Jesus will raise on the third day. They were left with unbelief. This morning, brothers and sisters, it's good to just think over what would have been, what's the experience of each sister there at the tomb. Praise God for the empty tomb, which is still in Jerusalem. This morning, the streets may be empty due to lockdown. There's one empty tomb because Jesus is risen. As we read, the angels proclaimed in Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 6, "He's not here, for he's risen," he said. As we just look back in Matthew 27, even the Pharisees, the Sadducees wanted to make sure that Jesus' body is not stolen. It was fully secured with guards. And we read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 2, on that night, on the Sabbath night, or the early in the morning, there was a great earthquake. There was a great earthquake. And we see sisters, when we combine and look at all the four Gospels, we see Mary Magdalene, we see Mary, the mother of James, we see Salome, we see Joanna going to this tomb with spices, talking among themselves, who will roll the stone away? And as they come to the tomb, the witness, the stone being rolled, they see the angel with lightning, as we see verse 3 of 23, and his raiment white as snow, proclaiming this great news that Jesus is risen. Why do you look living among the dead? There's a lot of running and coming on that morning for sisters. All the sisters, I believe, they run with great fear, as we read in verse 8, they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and ran to the disciples. They went and knocked the door of Peter and John, saying, "The Lord's body is not there, it's an empty tomb," the words of the angel. We read those scriptures that John and Peter runs to the tomb. We know from John's Gospel, it says John outran Peter. They both run to the tomb. Peter goes into the tomb and he sees the tomb empty. He sees the linen cloth which was wrapped lying, and he makes a note of the account. The napkin which was on the Lord's head was folded and kept aside. Mary Magdalene stays back at the tomb. She is grieved, she's looking for an answer. She's hungry to know where the Lord is. Blessed are those who thirst, who hunger, they shall be filled. The scriptures reveal through all the four Gospels, Mary Magdalene was the first to witness the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus called her, she thought he was a gardener. When she sees a man, and she thought Jesus as a gardener in the first appearance. And later when Jesus calls her name, Mary, she calls her name a Rabboni, Master. That is the very first account. And as the sisters are running back to the disciples, we read in verse 9, the very second appearance. There are five appearances in the very first day of the risen Christ on the resurrected day. First to Mary Magdalene, I believe. Second, as the sisters Salome, Joanna, and other sisters going back, in verse 9 we read, Jesus met them and they worshipped the Lord. We see a very unique account of the third appearance in Luke's Gospel. As we see, there were two men walking 7 miles back to Emmaus, a place about 7 miles journey from Jerusalem. They are walking, they have the account of these sisters telling about what had happened that morning, but yet they're going back to their own town without hope. Jesus meets them. He walks with them a few miles. He reveals the good news. He reveals how Jesus should suffer and die for them and be raised again. And at the breaking of bread, they invite him to his home and he fellowships with them. At the breaking of bread, he reveals to them and he disappears, the third account. These two disciples, filled with great joy, filled with great fear on this great thing, what had done, they walk back 7 miles, all the way back, about 2 hours back, a lot of running. They come back with excitement and to meet to the disciples to say what had happened. They have witnessed the risen Christ. By the time they run back, it says, the scripture says, Jesus has already met Cephas, Peter, as a fourth appearance on the very first day. Fifth appearance, we all see in the scriptures, when all the disciples have gathered the first day, except Thomas, we see Jesus entering the room and revealing, peace be with you. Jesus was on this planet Earth for about 40 days, witnessed by many. There are over 11 appearances. He revealed his presence for 500 people at once. He spent time with Peter to see, asking, do you love me? Brothers and sisters, as we look at this power of resurrection life, there are no words to describe Christ's life on this planet Earth for each one of us. We know in Colossians 1:15 is the express image of living God, the Son of God living on this earth. John, one of the disciples, says in John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. In him is our life, the light of all mankind. For the life was manifested in the flesh, 1 John 1:2. As we look at power of resurrection, we see the power of Christ witnessed by the disciples. Secondly, the power of resurrection, we see the work of triune God, the power of Trinity witnessed in the power of resurrection. We were created in Genesis. Let us, we see the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We see God the Father, the Spirit of God, Jesus the Lord, being in the power of resurrection, the power of Trinity. We see in 1 Corinthians 6:14, and God had both raised up the Lord, will also raise us up. God the Father. John 5:21, as the Father raises up the dead. Acts chapter 2, verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. We know the last words of our Lord Jesus on the cross. Father, I commit my spirit into thy hands. Jesus knew his father can raise him up from the dead. Jesus experienced death. He died for us on the cross. Father can raise him up from the dead. Jesus knew that his sacrifice would be accepted, what was offered in full, all that pain, all that agony for our judgment, that he took our wrath, our judgment. The Father raised him up from the dead. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 reveals the power of the Holy Spirit witnessed in the resurrection. But if the Spirit of him that raiseth up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, the Spirit of the God, the Holy Spirit, in the power of resurrection, he that raises up Christ from the dead shall also quicken you, mortal bodies, by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. We also see God the Son, the power of Jesus, witnessed in the resurrection. Jesus spoke about his resurrection many times. One of the words Jesus spoke in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Nobody killed Jesus. Neither Romans, neither Jews. Jesus laid it down himself. He had the power to lay it down. He had the power to take it again. So secondly, we see the power of resurrection, and we witness the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, raising Jesus up from the dead. Death could not hold him. The grave could not hold him. Nothing can hold against the power of the living God. Thirdly, brothers and sisters, this morning we were blessed with the worship, remembering the power of resurrection shows the acceptance of the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross. If Christ is not risen, I and you have no hope. Our gathering this morning is in vain. Our preaching is in vain. Because Christ is risen, we have this blessed hope. The sacrifice Jesus has made has been accepted in full. It has been paid in full. Jesus is the high priest. A picture of the high priest who went, we know through the scriptures, which reveal the shadows of the things to come, that the high priest went into the temple once in a year with the blood of an animal for the sacrifice, for the offering, for the redemption of Israel's sins. But Jesus is the picture of the high priest. He did not enter the holy temple, which is Solomon's temple. As you read through Hebrews chapter 9, you read that Jesus went with his own blood to the heaven itself. Hebrews 9:24 says, Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of truth, but into heaven itself, not to appear in the presence of God for us. It's a mystery. We read that word. When Jesus was with Mary Magdalene, Jesus said these words, do not hold on to me, Mary. Have not yet been to my Father and your Father. Tell the disciples I'm going to my Father. Later on the same day, the sisters held him by feet. Jesus appeared, went to heaven, offered his own blood, and entered the most holy place on that day, appeared to the presence of God. We know that God has accepted what Jesus offered by the sacrifice, by raising from the dead. We see Stephen, who also witnessed, who was martyred for the faith in Jesus Christ. On the day when he was about to be stoned to death, we read in Acts chapter 7, verse 55, Stephen witnessed, filled with the Holy Ghost. He witnessed Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Jesus standing at the right hand of God. We read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, he has been seated at the right hand of God. The resurrection power, we see in triune God, witnessed by disciples, witnessed by angels, proves the acceptance of sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, The power of Christ is in you. The power of Christ, we are the greatest testimony, a living testimony. We know there are many experiences of all men and brothers and sisters who experience Christ in life, who have been transformed. Even brothers and sisters who are hearing here have seen a transformed life. The power of resurrection is a transformed life, which has transformed each one of us. We know Apostle Paul. We don't have time to read the scriptures this morning. We know his experience. In Acts chapter 9, verse 3 and 5, as you read, his name was Saul, who was going to persecute the church. He also witnessed the risen Christ. On the way to Damascus, he saw a divine light coming down. He saw the light which blinded him. And he heard the voice of our Lord Jesus, the risen Lord. He said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he said, he was blinded for 3 days. He sent Ananias. And Ananias revealed the things of God. And he was chosen for the Gentiles, that he was revealed how much he should suffer for his name's sake. We know Paul was a great man of God. Paul preached the gospel the same day, it says in Acts chapter 9, verse 20. He preached the same day that Jesus is the Son of God. If you could please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 onwards. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 onwards. It says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in the earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." As we look into Paul's life, Paul is sharing his personal testimony in this particular passage, how Paul experienced the light which shined on him in his dark life, how God revealed the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, as a child of God, we can all experience this life, which we have all experienced, being born again, being born of above, that glory which shined on us. When we were in darkness, when we were in sin, the light of God shined upon our life. We experience the love of God in our hearts. We experience the revelation of the knowledge, the word of God, the truth, which shined in our hearts. We experience the relationship God has given to each one of us, that from that day, we have been sealed by the Spirit of living God, according to Ephesians 1:13, until redemption. We are in this earthen vessel, but we have this treasure in this earthen vessel, that the excellence or the power may be of God, not of us. The earthen vessel reminds us of this clay pot. This body, as you look at your hands, your feet, your earthen vessel, is mortal. The earthen pot of clay can be breakable one day. It will break, can be destroyed. But what we have in us, brothers and sisters, this treasure in this earthen vessel, that no one can destroy it, but not be destroyed. Paul shares his experience. Though he was bold, he was weak at times. He was troubled at times. He was in distress. He was in despair. But what manifested in his life was his treasure. This treasure which is in him, all glory goes to the Jesus Christ, which is living in you and me. You have a treasure in your earthen vessels, as Paul did. I and you have this power of resurrection in our hearts. Where is Jesus, brothers and sisters? Yes, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. Jesus lives in your heart and in my heart today. And we manifest this great treasure, this great truth, which is revealed in our hearts. As you look at the same chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 and 15, Paul says, We have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you for all things for our sake, that abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, as you remember the power of resurrection, as Jesus was raised from the dead, the same spirit, we are sealed in the same spirit as Romans 8:11, that we shall also be raised one day, according as it is written. As we come to Philippians chapter 3 as a close, we see Paul write these words in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Brothers and sisters, as we meditate, even as Paul, knowing God, preaching Jesus Christ day after day, this is where Paul was, his hunger was. As you read Philippians chapter 3, you read this was his mission. Regardless whatever despair he was going to, regardless whatever trials he was going through, he had one goal, that I may win Christ. I may win Christ. I may know him more. I may know the power of resurrection. I may know the fellowship of his suffering. As we look at these things, one thing the Word of God reveals, without the Spirit of God, there is no resurrection of life. If we do not have the Spirit of living God, of our Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, we have no resurrection power. God has given every child, as many received him, to him he gave the right to be called the children of God. On this beautiful morning, if there's anyone hearing these words and you do not know what is to be born again, you do not know Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, Jesus invites you, come unto me, all who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. All we need to do, as Paul did, is to repent. Not by works he could attain righteousness. Righteousness attained apart from the law, it is through Jesus Christ, by faith, by the grace of God. The power of resurrection speaks. It is only by grace of God, brothers and sisters, we have this great opportunity beyond you can think of. Jesus said to these words to Thomas, when Thomas did not believe that the tomb was empty, blessed is he who has not seen me and believes on me. None of us have seen Jesus, but we have experienced his great love. We know the tomb is empty. We know the power of resurrection, that Jesus lives. As John's Gospel chapter 14, verse 19 says, because he lives, we shall also live. The very next event, brothers and sisters, all we need to be looking forward, as God has promised, to every child of God, is being raptured, is being caught up with him. Brothers and sisters, the people who are dead, who have believed, the Bible says the dead in Christ will raise from the dead. We shall all have a glorious body. This corruptible will become incorruptible. We cannot describe a glorious body. We have a glimpse of what Jesus did from the day he was resurrected for the 40 days, witnessing. He was able to be in one place to the other. He ascended to heaven and is coming back for each one of us. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let us not faint. Let us not faint. In verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, faint not. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house of not made with hands, made with hands, eternals in heaven. May, as we look back the accounts of the disciples, the sisters, we see the power, the joy, the comfort, knowing how Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. May we look forward for our coming of the Lord and be prepared that we may have this mission, what Paul had. I may know him. I may win Christ. I may know the power of resurrection. I may know the fellowship of his suffering. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning to give unto each one of us. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts of the blessed hope, Lord, that you are given in our hearts. Lord, the Spirit of God, the love of God, the power of resurrection, this treasure which has been placed in our earthly vessel. Father, help us that we may stand strong, may be prepared for your coming. If there's anyone here who do not know you, Father, we pray that you may have mercy and speak to their hearts, that they may be born again and may have this day, the day of salvation, by knowing, by repentance, by faith, by the grace in knowing Jesus Christ, that one could be saved. We thank you for this blessed hope, and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.